You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 12 chapter. One verse I want to get to here. Actually, we started teaching last week along these lines and went from this verse to Psalms 1, and I want to take us to Joshua 1 here pretty quick without reviewing a whole lot, and I'm notorious for reviewing a whole lot, but hey, it's good stuff, amen? Yeah. And really, we talked about last week how to speak good things. You know, it's one thing to say, well, we need to talk better. We need to talk good things instead of bad things. We need to talk positively instead of negatively, and we need to say the right thing instead of the wrong thing. We all admit that. We all know that's the case. But then the how-to of it, we need to know how. What's the plan? You know, a lot of people have a vision or a goal or a dream of a better life, but they got no plan to get there. You know, some people say, well, I'm just believing for this, I'm believing for that. But if you stop and say, okay, what's your plan? They don't really have one. You know, what are we going to do to attain that? How are we going to achieve that? And so, actually, the Bible gives us not just goals and dreams and visions, but the Bible gives us plans and commandments, are you with me, and ways and means, as it were. So you want a better marriage? That's a good goal. You ought to pray for that. But then you ought to do the things that make for a better marriage. You want a better life? Well, that's great. You want a better business? You want God to bless your business? He will. He'll do that. He says he will. But then he does that through wisdom. He does that through you changing your actions. You know, you can't, I heard this years ago, you can't talk your way out of a situation you behaved yourself into. That's deep, but that's truth. Amen? So if you want a different outcome, change your behavior. Now, it's going to start with talking, obviously. In fact, I'm teaching on confession, on talking, on what we say. And it is imperative that you get your lip and your life lined out. It's imperative that you get your mouth speaking God's words. I heard Norville Hayes, many of you have heard of him, some of you may not have heard of Norville. Norville was a great teacher one time years ago. Used to come through Lakewood Church back in the 70s, and Brent and I were back at Lakewood when John Osteen was the pastor. And he was just a businessman, God anointed to teach and preach, had a real miracle ministry, and still alive. He's still around. But I don't know, he's been in his 80s, got to be. But he used to say all the time, he was from Cleveland, Tennessee, so he had quite an accent. But he'd say, you are your mouth, and that's all you'll ever be. And he'd just lean over the pulpit and stare at you, you know. And that's so true, though. We are what we say. We are what comes out of our mouth. We're not the person, you know, that's got the makeup on or, you know, ladies and whatever men do, you know. I mean, with the haircut and the clothes you got on. No, we're more than that. We're, you know, you can sit beside someone and start talking to someone. You find out who they really are. And that's why it's so important to get our mouths lined out and start saying the right thing. Be an encourager and a lifter instead of someone that just tears people down, always negative and always criticizing and hadn't got anything good to say about anybody. No, turn that thing around. Let's turn it around. We're Christians. We're believers. We ought to be helping people out of the mess they're in. We're not here to point out the mess. We're here to help people get delivered from the mess. Are you with me? We're not here to point out the problem. We're here to point out the answer. And there is an answer. We recognize the problem. Listen, I'm open and very honest and very scriptural about what is right and what is wrong, but people label us many times. If I stand up and I say homosexuality is a sin, people say we're homophobes or we hate homosexuals. No, we don't. I don't hate homosexuals. I'm just stating the fact that it's a sin. But I'm here to tell you that if someone is in homosexuality, they can be delivered and they can be set free and they can come out of that. And Jesus died for them. And if they'll repent and turn from their sin, they can be saved. They can be delivered. But in the same breath, I say it's wrong because it's a sin, but we don't hate the sinner. Adultery is a sin. But if you've committed adultery and you repent, God will forgive you. God can heal your marriage even. Are you with me? Are you out there? Am I afraid of adulterers? No, I'm not adulterophobe. I'm not a homophobe. Are you with me? I mean, we have to understand that God is love. And we have to understand that God is holy. So when we talk about sin and what is right and what is wrong, we're not condemning. We're not judging. Are you with me? We're stating what the Bible states, but we're also giving hope and telling them there's answers. And what are you doing in the prison? The gate's open. Come on out. Hallelujah. You can be set free. Wherever you've been and whatever you've done, you can be set free. Hallelujah. Woo. Man, God set me free, set you free. Amen. I wasn't homosexual, but I'm just saying God set me free. I just will make that clear. But I mean, if you were and you got set free, you know what? Hey, the past is over. Let's go forward. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go forward. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, let me get out of that hole I dug myself into. Here he talks about not just speaking the right thing, but how to speak the right thing. Not just a goal, but how to reach the goal. I love that. The Bible is full of instruction. And in Matthew 12, verse 33, and I'm reading out of New Living Translation. It's a little different, but it says, a tree is identified by its fruit. King James says, known by its fruit. It says, if a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. See, what determines the fruit is the person inside. Are you with me? What determines what's said is what's on the inside. And that's how we know what kind of tree it is, by what is seen on the outside. But what's seen on the outside is just determined by what is inside. A tree's known by its fruit. We know by what we hear people say. But what we hear them say is what's coming out of the inside of them. That's what he's saying. And he says in the 34th verse, sweetly, you brood of snakes, generation of vipers, how could you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, King James says. I think this is fascinating. New Living Translation says, you brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Wow. So I really don't have so much control over what I say as I think I do. I have more control over what I hear and what I put inside of me. But once I get that inside of me, it's going to control what I say. You say, well, I have free will. I make my choices. You do, but your choices have consequences. And the real free will you have and the real free choice you have is who you hang around with, what you listen to, what you put inside of you, what you read. That's the real choice you have. But once you make that choice, then those choices are going to determine what you say later. So you can't just all of a sudden say, I'm just going to start talking good. I'm going to start speaking good. I'm going to start talking right. Well, not unless you choose to hear God's word. Not unless you choose to read God's word. Not unless you choose to hang around people that know the Lord. If you don't make that choice, then you cannot make yourself say good things continually, consistently, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, or what's in the heart determines what is said. Woohoo! Man, that's good stuff. That's better preaching, y'all are shouting an amen. That tells me, this is what's so good about this. That tells me I don't have to be an orator. I don't have to be someone that just, that can enunciate and articulate and orate and whatever, I don't have to be an expert at speaking. I don't have to be a rocket scientist. I don't have to be an academic, someone who's really got the degrees. Thank God for degrees. Thank God for education. But what he's saying here is that if I will just put the right thing in me, the right thing will come out. Farmers are at all different levels of intelligence. If you ever met any farmers, you know what I'm talking about. Some of them pretty smart. Some of them about as smart as the dirt they're planting in. They're just people like anybody. I mean, you can take any profession to say that. I just talked about farming. But a farmer knows that if they put seed in the ground, whatever they put in the ground is going to come up. And that's not rocket science. If you'll read the Word, listen, you ought to read the Word every day. Y'all just take a scripture or two or maybe a chapter, and if you can read two or three, go ahead. But take a time, maybe in the morning or at night before you go to bed. Read a little bit of the Word. Read it every day. Just make it a part of your life to read it every day. If you put it in there, it's going to come out. It will. You can't help but speak it. You can't help but say it. Because what's in your heart will determine what you say. Now, that's the part we got to get a hold of. And that's what Psalms 1 is telling us, which we talked about Psalms 1. Jesus saying the same thing here. What's in the heart determines what you say. How can you, being evil, speak good things? And if evil's in your heart, evil's going to come out. That's what he's saying. But if you'll put God's word in your heart, then God's word's going to come out. Whatever your sponge has been, whatever kind of water or liquid it's been sitting in, that's what's going to squeeze out of it. That's all. You throw a sponge into a mud puddle, it's just going to squeeze out muddy water. You throw it in clear water, then when you squeeze it, clear water's going to come out. Because it can only squeeze out what's in it. That's all it can. It's all That's just a law. It's a principle. Amen. So that's what Psalms 1 is telling us, and we went over that last week. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He's telling us, first of all, let's don't get around that. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't spend your time with ungodly counsel, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, or stands in the way of the sinner. Don't stand with sinners all the time, and don't sit in the seat of the scornful. This is not a judgmental, condemning message. I think you ought to love people and minister to people and don't look down on people and don't feel like you're better than everybody else. I'm not saying that. But you need to spend quality time with people that know God and love God. If you're going to talk God's word, amen? If you're ever going to do that, you're going to have to spend time with God's people. So he says, blessed. Everybody say blessed. So now he's talking about how to be blessed. In Matthew 12, he talks about how to say good things, right? So he tells us how to do it, get the right thing in us. Psalms 1 tells us how to be blessed. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, this blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he, this blessed man that meditates in the word day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. So now we're finding out in Psalms 1 how to prosper. How to be blessed and prosper by the words of our mouth. And how do those words, how does that happen? It starts with what we meditate on, who we hang around with. I mean, it's just simple, basic truth here. I love that word meditate, because that word meditate, where it says blesses the man, goes on down, it says, walks not in the counsel of God, stand the way the sinner sits and sees the scorn, but his delight's in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate. Everybody say meditate. That word meditate is a Hebrew word. It's called Haggah, H-A-G-A-H, Haggah. We often think in terms of just thinking or just rolling around in our head, but actually that word means to speak or to say, to converse, to speak to oneself, actually. In fact, there's a couple of translations. I was thinking about what's Priscilla's last name going to be?
Buffington.
Okay. Well, this is the J.B. Rotherham translation, the Emphasized Bible. It says, instead of in his law doth he meditate day and night, it says, in his law doth he talk with himself day and night. I like that. Because the word needs to be discussed with yourself. You need to converse with yourself, the word. You need to speak the word. You ought to read the Bible out loud every once in a while. Get a promise that looks good and start making a confession. Just say, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't stand in the way of the sinner. I don't sit in the seat of the scornful. But my delight is in the law of the Lord. And in God's law or word, I meditate day and night. Amen. Make a confession. And I will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And my leaf also shall not wither. And whatever I do will prosper.
Amen.
Amen. See, talk to yourself about the word. Talk the word to yourself. The R.K. Harrison translation, Psalms for Today, says in that verse, says, so that day and night he recites his law to himself. He speaks it. He recites it to himself. That word Haggah is an interesting word. It actually means to speak in many cases and not just, not just think. In fact, I'm going to give you a little Hebrew. You want a Hebrew lesson here? In Hebrew, Jesenius, Hebrew Chaldean lexicon of the Old Testament. Y'all got that down? If you can say that 10 times real fast, you can speak in tongues. It'll be like being baptized in the Holy Ghost. But the Jesenius, Hebrew Chaldean lexicon of the Old Testament says, this word Haggah means to murmur, to mutter, to growl. That's interesting. To speak. To speak with oneself, murmuring in a low voice. I think that's interesting. You're going over it. You're talking to yourself. You're talking to yourself. Maybe you're in a situation where you feel fear coming. You start saying, greater is he that's in me, he's in the world. Under your breath, greater is he that's in me, he's in the world. You're reciting the word. You're meditating the word. you know, maybe you're getting some bad news about your job or about your bills or about your business, and you start saying, my God, supply my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. Hallelujah. The young lions do lack self hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing. I seek God. I will not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. He delights in my prosperity. He daily loads me with benefits. Hallelujah. God wants to prosper me. He wants to bless me. Hallelujah. He wants to supply my needs. You're talking to yourself, see. And you're meditating on that, and that's getting in you, and it overcomes and drives out the fear. Mm. And there's a book on ancient Hebrew language by a guy named Jeff Brenner. He says that this word haggah means to meditate in soft speech for the removal of a burden. In other words, to meditate is to remove burdens. To speak it, the word, is to lift the burden. It's to get the devil off your back, hallelujah. To get the fear on the run, as it were, amen. To get the depression, the clouds of darkness, to roll them back and let the light come. In fact, that's really what Psalms 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of your word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. So if you want to be like this blessed man, and that's what he's telling you, how to be blessed, how to prosper, then get the word inside of you and get it in your mouth. Start haggah. Start speaking it in your mouth. Amen? Oh, man. The Nelson Expository Dictionary of the Old Testament. Here's another one. These are scholarly works, y'all. This is intelligent. Word means to meditate, to moan, to growl, to utter, to speak. This word is common both in ancient and modern Hebrew, reflecting the sign and low sounds one makes while musing as the ancients practiced it. Haggah expresses like lions growling and doves mourning, as it were. It emphasizes, again, the removal of a burden. Man, maybe you're burdened. I don't know. Maybe you're weighted down. Maybe you've got pressure on you. I tell you, if you will start speaking the word to yourself, just start meditating on what God says in his word, you can come out of that. It's like taking your roots and putting them deep into the rivers of living water, like that tree planted by the rivers of living water, and taking up those nutrients and that strength and that life and that victory, hallelujah, and your leaf doesn't wither, and then whatever you do prospers. Joshua 1. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to jump into Joshua 1? Oh, man. This is good stuff. This is God's strategy for success or for winning the battles of life. Joshua 1 is. Matthew 12, we read over there how to learn to speak good things. And Psalms 1, we learn how to prosper, how to be blessed. Joshua 1, God is getting Joshua ready to win the land of Canaan, the promises, to possess the promises. Moses has died, and Joshua now is the general, the commander-in-chief, as it were, and he's going to lead the Israelites across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan to possess the promises. And you see the compassion of God here too, because he starts out and he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now go ye therefore. Isn't that cool? I mean, would you like to follow Moses? I mean, who would like to stand in those shoes? I'm thinking of intimidation here. Are you with me? You're going to follow that act? I mean, okay, he split the Red Sea and crossed the dry land, got water out of a rock and manna out of heaven and had a fiery pillar of fire, you know, by night and a pillar of cloud by day. What are you going to do, Joshua? Hello? And yet that's what he inherited. He inherited the children of Israel to take them into the promised land. And God visited him out of his love and compassion and concern. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you go, and wherever you put the sole of your foot, that have I given you. And he gives them the boundary lines and the parameters of what is his. That's why you need the Bible. Because without the Bible, you don't know what your boundary lines are. You don't know what God has given you. You don't know how far to go and when to stop and so on and so forth. You know, some things you can have, some things you can't have. You can't have another man's wife. You can't have another woman's husband. You can't go rob a bank. Are you with me? But you can have the wife God gives you, and you can have the husband God gives you, and he that finds the wife finds a good thing. Amen? Yes. And you can prosper. You don't have to rob bank to do it. Amen. But the Bible gives you guidelines as to what is yours. It tells you what land is yours. And you know what is yours, what you actually possess or actually experience? whatever you put your foot on. Now, the whole Bible is potentially there for you, and all the promises of God are given to you by God, but only the ones you stand on or step out on, only those will come to pass for you. He said, everywhere you put the sole of your foot, that have I given you. He tells them that in the first chapter here in Joshua. And then he goes on in the fifth verse, and he says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You know, you see God moving in supernatural ways in the Bible, supporting people, protecting people, providing for people, rising up and anointing people. But let me tell you, this is the same God that's in you. In fact, the Bible says if this same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, He'll quicken or make alive your mortal body. And we don't have another Spirit. We got the same Spirit. And the same God that was on Moses is the same God in us. Mm-mm. Are you with me? In fact, it says, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. So he goes on and tells them this. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. God will not leave you. He has not left you. And He has not forsaken you. Be strong and of a good courage. Oh, man. Be encouraged today. Listen, take this message and take it to heart. I don't know what's going on in your life, but be strong. Be of good courage. Why? Because God's with you. You're not alone. You haven't been alone a day in your life since you got saved. You are not forsaken. You are not rejected. Maybe everybody in the world rejected. God didn't reject you. He accepted you. You're accepted in the Beloved. Amen? Well, nobody may know the trouble you see, Charlie Brown, but God knows. He knows all the trouble. Are you with me? Everybody's always picking on you. God's not picking on you. I got nobody to help me. God will help you. God will help you. He'll help you. He loves you. He's crazy about you. You know, I just wonder how big God's refrigerator is in heaven, because I know He's got all of our picture on it. He's got to have a huge refrigerator, you know. Put all of our pictures on it. He says, be strong of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. That word strong there is kazak, is a Hebrew word. It means to harden and to take hold of, to be constant, to continue, to prevail, to withstand. God wants us to overcome. He wants us to take hold of His promise. He wants us to be constant. He wants us to continue. He just doesn't want us to quit. You know, I can say one thing. People ask, how is your church so successful in a town the size of Wills Point? Do all you do, all the property you have, everything's paid for, all the missions that you support. You know, there's not many churches our size that give $100,000 a year to missions, that give $1 million in 10 years. Not many churches our size do what we do, you know. And people say, well, how do you, what do you attribute all that to? What is the key to your success? I would just say we didn't quit. Are you with me? We just stayed. You know, you can't do anything for 31 years and not get good at it. Hello. If you want to lose, just quit. If you want to win, don't quit. Now, there's a lot more to it than that. I understand that. But you've got to be consistent. You just got to stay with it. And you got to hang in there. And you got to keep doing it day in and day out. When it feels good, when it doesn't feel good. When you feel good, when you don't feel good. When it looks like it's working, when it doesn't look like it's working. You keep doing it because God says do it. And if you keep putting the seed in the ground, the seed's going to keep coming up. So we just keep putting seed in the ground. We just keep planting. We just keep giving. We keep praying. We keep preaching. We keep teaching. We keep having services. We keep showing up, and God keeps showing out. Yeah. Amen? And the years go on. You look around. You go, wow, man, this is pretty cool. But it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen the first year. It didn't happen the 5 years. It didn't happen 10 years. It didn't happen 20 years. What's going on right now happened in 31 years. You say, well, I don't have that kind of time. Oh, are you going to die this year? Are you with me? I mean, you know, the time is just, it's rocking on. You can't stop time. And for long, if, you know, 10 years just come fly by, and in 10 years it will have gone. Don't you wish you had continued to serve God 10 years? Because think where you'd be 10 years from now. If you kept serving Him, kept believing Him, kept trusting Him, kept in church and kept doing God's word, my goodness, man, what is going to happen in 5 years? What about 10 years? What about 15 years? It'll be worth every minute of it, every day. It'll be worth every sacrifice you made. Oh, hallelujah. Put the word in you, amen? You know, people often ask me, how can you quote so many scriptures? Because I've read so many scriptures. Because I read all the time. I read the scripture all the time. I've been doing this for a while. I've been preaching for more than 30 years. I preached before I came up here and started the church. But I read the Bible all the time, all the time. I talk about it all the time. I can't help myself. This is not something I just choose to do. I can't help but speak the word. That's all I got in me. That's the only thing I've consistently put in me for years. Are you with me? And so that's just a product of God's word. That's like asking the farmer, how come you got 10 acres of watermelons? He'd say, well, because I planted 10 acres of watermelons. And you could argue with him all day long. I said, well, why don't you have yellow squash? Because I didn't plant yellow squash. Well, why don't you have Christmas trees growing out there? Because I planted watermelons. Yeah, but I don't understand. Why do you have watermelons? Because that's what I planted. Because whatever you plant, that's whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And if you want to be blessed, and if you want success, if you want victory, then plant God's word in your life. That's what he's saying here. He says, be strong, be consistent, be constant, prevail, withstand, and be of good courage. I love what the Knox translation says. It says, courage then, play the man. Of course, that's kind of old English, but I love it. We ought to play the man, play the woman. If you're a woman, don't play a man if you're a woman. And you know how that goes. He goes on and says this, the seventh verse: only be strong. Everybody say only. Not a thousand things you need to do. There's not a million things. Not seven steps. Not 15 here and 20 there and two here. And there's just one thing you need to do, and that is only be strong. Do not quit. Just stay with the stuff. I don't know what everybody else is going to do. I can't control everybody else, but I can make a stand. Amen? I can make a stand. Only, that's limitation. That's merely nothing but. That's what that means. Y'all remember the case where Jairus, he was ruler of the synagogue in Mark 5th chapter. He came to Jesus, and he said, my daughter lies at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her, and she shall be healed. Well, actually said, my daughter lies at the point of death. And Mark says, Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Matthew's account, Jairus says, my daughter is dead. Come lay your hands on her, she'll live. But either way, what happened was Jesus did go with him. And on his way, the woman with the issue of blood came and behind pressed, took his garment and, you know, was healed. And Jesus said, woman, thy faith made thee whole. And while they're going to the house, he's with Jairus, if you could imagine him standing here, Jairus. And before they get to the house, people from the house come and say, don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter's dead. Not good news. Not good news. But it's interesting that Jesus turned. One translation, I think it's Amplified, says, hearing but ignoring, he turned to Jairus. And he said, fear not, only believe. Not a million things you need to do, just only believe. That's all you got to do is believe. Well, like, what about this? What about that? What about that? No. Just let's calm down. Just believe. That's all you got to do. All you got to do is believe. Only be strong. Only. See, God's not complicated. I love that. I mean, he obviously is the most complicated being in the universe, but he's not complicated with us. He keeps it very simple. And if you want to succeed in life, if you want to win the battles of life, you have to be strong in the Lord. Constant in the Lord. Amen? Only believe. That's all you got to do. Well, what about, no, only believe. Wow. That's amazing. That's what he told me. He said, only believe. And you know what? He went into the house with him, his mother, and his wife, excuse me, his wife. And he took Peter, James, and John and raised that girl from the dead. He moved out of all the unbelief. He ran everybody out of the house, which you got to do that sometimes. You got to get the unbelief out of your house. And he went in there with Peter, James, and John, and Jairus, and his wife, and he said, "Little daughter, rise." Talith kumai is what he said. And she arose and was healed. All he had to do was believe, that's all. So, we're talking about succeeding in life, victory, God's strategy or plan for success or winning battles, and it comes from believing. It comes from being strong. It comes from saying what God says. 7th verse, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you to do. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." See, God put the carrot on the stick. This is not some modern-day teaching, some twisted version of the gospel. This is the Bible. This is what God says. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to succeed. He does not want you to go under. He does not want you to lose. He doesn't want you to fail. We do fail. We do go under. He still loves us. He picks us back up. But his will is that we go over, not under. His will is that we be the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. Hallelujah. His will is that we succeed. He didn't say blessed is the man in Psalms 1, and if you do all these things, he'd lose everything he had. He said blessed is that man, and everything he does will prosper. He didn't tell Joshua, do all these things, and you'll just lose battle after battle, and you'll never have a good life, but when you die, you go to heaven. No, he said, if you'll do this, you will prosper, and you will have good success. Woo! Oh, y'all calm down. Y'all getting too excited. 8th verse says, this book of the law. Which book do you think he's talking about? The Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Wow, here we go again now. We're talking about the mouth again. Now what he means there, depart from your mouth, means it should stay in there. If we hear what's coming out of your mouth, it's going to be the word. Amen. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate. Everybody say meditate.
Meditate.
Haggah. That's that same Hebrew word again. So what he's saying here is you should recite it. In fact, the New American Bible says that you shall recite it by day and night. Speak it all the time. The Knox translation says, oh, I love this, man. It's some of that Middle English, Old English or whatever. Man, they could talk back in, couldn't they? You ever read some of the writings of some of the early founders of our country when they'd write? And I'm thinking, man, I wish I could spin a phrase like that or a sentence like that, you know. But the Knox says, the law thou hast in writing must govern every utterance of thine. You want the law, the Bible, to govern every utterance of thine. In other words, did God say that? When you start speaking, you need to ask yourself, did God say that? Isn't it significant that when Adam was in the garden, you know, in the cool of the day, after he'd sinned, he heard God in the cool of the day walking in the garden, and Adam hid himself. And God said, "Where are you?" And Adam said, "Well, I was afraid, and we hid ourselves. We were naked, and we clothed ourselves." And God said, "Who told you that? Who told you that?" You know, we go through life thinking we're just no good, we're not going to make it. But you need to ask yourself this question, who told you that? Well, I'll never get out of this mess. Well, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. I can hear God asking you a question. Who told you that? God didn't tell you that. God didn't say you couldn't make it. God didn't say you were nobody. God didn't say you didn't count. God didn't say you were worthless. I mean, where did you hear that? Who told you that? And what are you doing listening to that? You need to hear what God has to say. Amen? You need to listen to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you'll get it in your heart and in your mouth, because you get it in your heart, it'll get in your mouth, then notice what it says here. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate or haggah or speak it or recite it or say it over and over, God's word, day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Hallelujah, somebody. So you don't go under speaking the word, you go over speaking the word. You don't lose speaking the word, you win speaking the word. Now, bear in mind, this is Joshua, the commander-in-chief of all the armies of Israel, the head guy, El Patron. He's the man. Moses is dead. And this is God's little instruction. This is his pep talk. This is his manual for success. This is his strategy. This is what he's telling Joshua to do so he can win the battles of life. And if you will do it, you'll win too. You can overcome sin. You can overcome depression. You can overcome addictions. Are you with me? You can overcome whatever it is. Maybe it's just you don't like the way you talk. Well, you can change the way you talk.
Amen.
You can get God's word in you, get it in your mouth, start talking it, and man, you better look out because success is coming. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love that because if you put God's word in you and you begin to speak it, notice what also it says here. It says this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but that you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do. That you may observe, see to do it. You know, you talk to some people about success or getting out of a mess they're in. They'll say things like, well, I just can't see that. You ever been there? Just don't have a picture of it. I don't have a picture of me making it, you know, or I don't have a picture of coming out of this mess or overcoming this addiction or overcoming this sin or this temptation or whatever the case may be. They don't have a picture. They can't see it. Well, until you get the word in you and start saying it, you're not going to see it. Because it starts out, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do it. You're not going to see to do it until you get the word inside of you. You're not, see, you and I, we don't even have a picture of making it until we get with God. We don't even know the potential we have until we spend time with Jesus. And all of a sudden, we don't just see him more clearly. We see ourselves more clearly. We don't just begin to understand what he can do. We begin to understand what we can do through Christ who strengthens us. Oh, hallelujah. We start realizing we are more than what the world says we are. We're more than what we've been telling ourselves. There's more on the inside of us than there is on the outside of us. The greater one's in us, hallelujah. And we can make it. But you got to start putting the word in you and start saying that word, meditating, haggah, saying, this is strategy for success. This is how you win battles. This is how you're blessed. This is how you speak good things. Start with the word and get God's word inside of you. You know, the Septuagint says on this, he says that you may know how to do it. You put the word in your mouth, you meditate or speak it, that you may know how to do it. Oh, man, it just gets back down the farmer again. Just put it in there. You put the word in you, it's going to come out of you.
That's right.
You do your part, God's going to do his part. Supernaturally, your spiritual organs are going to take over. You know, I mentioned that last week. If you eat food, and we're going to go out and eat here pretty quick. I'll let you out pretty quick. And we're going to go eat, but we're not going to think about what's going to happen to the food. We're not going to think about how to digest it. We're not going to think about getting all the nutrients out of it and getting it into our blood vessels and getting it out to our muscles and strengthening our bodies and so on. We're just going to eat the food, that's all. And a lot of it, yeah. Ron's going, a lot of it. But your organs are going to take over from there, and you ain't conscious of it. Your parts just put the food in your mouth. Are you with me? I'm good at that. I can put the food in my mouth, and my body takes over. Listen, quit worrying about your future. Quit trying to figure out how in the world you're going to make all this happen. Just get the word inside your spirit. Your spirit will begin to pull out of it what you need. Are you with me? Your spirit will begin to work. You don't even have to understand it. You just get it in you, just like your body. You don't have to understand what happens to food when you get it in your body and how it begins to... How does it do that? I don't know. I don't understand how it pulls all the good stuff out and gets rid of the bad stuff. You know, I say that. But, I mean, that's what happens. It just takes over. You have one responsibility, and that's to put the food in. You got one responsibility if you want success in life, and that's to get God's word in you. And if you get it in you, the word will take over. And the seed will grow. The farmer doesn't know how. He just puts it in the ground. First the blade, then the full blade, full ear, and then you got corn, man. Woo! All of a sudden, you look back, and 31 years later, and you go, wow, this is pretty cool. All we really did was just keep the word coming. Amen? just kept the word coming. And the word did the work. Hallelujah. And the world do the work in your life too. Get the pressure off, okay? God didn't call you to carry burdens. He called you to cast your burdens on him. He didn't call you to carry your pain. He carried your pain. He didn't call you to bury your sorrows. He bore your sorrows. So cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Get in the word, get the word in you. Amen. And get ready to succeed. Ninth verse in closing. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Oh, man, that's good. That's a good word. Amen. That's an encouraging word. Hallelujah. You can make it.